Imagine for a moment that you're invited to spend all day at the movies. So you drive over to the cinema multiplex, and when you get there, you learn that every film that day has been chosen especially for you. And not only that, but you will be the only person in the audience. So you go to the first film and settle in, and you see that it's the story of your life as seen and experienced by you. And so you, of course, are the main character, and you notice that everything and everyone is just the way you remembered them. Your mother, father, brothers, sisters, your friends, your pets, all of it. And every event unfolds exactly the way you remember. Well, after a while, you kind of got the gist of this, so you decide to wander over to the next theater, and there you find that the film is the story of your mother's life as seen through her eyes. So you sit down and begin enjoying it, and then you begin to feel a little bit unsettled because your mother doesn't seem the same. She doesn't even really look the same as how you think of her. And the scenes and the people from your childhood are not as you remembered them when she portrays them up there. And even you yourself appear strikingly different from the way you see yourself. Well, on you go to the next film and the next one and the next one. And you have the joy of seeing the story of your father's life through his eyes. And you see the story of your siblings' lives through their eyes, and the story of your beloved through his or her eyes. And each time you are amazed that their story and their depictions are so different from yours. Finally, it hits you. You realize that everyone is living in their own world. Everyone has their own movie going. They're living in that movie, they're living in their own story. And that story for them is the truth, just like your story for you is the truth. And just in the same way that you are the star of your movie, it's all about you, everyone else is the star of their movie. It is not about you, it is about them. And the images that they have of other people are based on their own beliefs and experiences. And even their opinions about you are based on the character that they've created in your name. It has really nothing to do with who you really are. Well, this is huge. This is a huge realization. The spiritual masters tell us that every mind is a world. Every mind has its own reality. And so this is very useful to us as we delve into the second agreement described in Don Miguel Ruiz's very successful best-selling book, The Four Agreements. So we're studying these over these Sundays. Last Sunday we looked into the first agreement, be impeccable with your word. And today we focus on the second agreement, don't take anything personally. This is an easy one, right? Don't take it personally because it's not about you. So Don Miguel Ruiz writes, "Nothing other people do is because of you. It is because of themselves. All people live in their own dream, in their own mind. They are in a completely different world from the one you live in. They are dealing with their own feelings, beliefs, and opinions, a totally different reality. And so when we interact with others, our worlds overlap. But that doesn't mean that we have a shared reality. It just means that we show up in each other's movies as characters. And how we decide to interpret and relate to those characters is up to us. So here is an example from my own life. A few weeks ago, I was out running errands, and I decided to stop at Stein Mart. So I parked my car, and as I got out of the car, the door kind of got away from me, and it bumped the car next to me. I got out of the car and I looked to make sure that I hadn't left a scratch or a mark, and I noticed that the driver of that car was sitting behind the wheel, talking on her cell phone. So I closed my door, walked around that car, and I was just about to cross the street to go into the store. She got out of her car and yelled at me across the parking lot, "Hey, you just hit my car." I was really embarrassed. And I said, "I know, but it didn't leave a mark. I'm sorry." That wasn't enough for her. So she continued on. She said, "Well, you really hit it hard. It made the whole car shake." I stifled the response, "Really?" And I said, "I'm really sorry, but it didn't do any damage." And with that, she got back in her car and she slammed the door, and I walked into the store. But I was rattled. I was a little shaken up. And I began to feel my spirit droop. Looking back on it later, I realized this was a perfect opportunity, a golden opportunity, to not take things personally. Because this incident was not about me. This incident was certainly not about me as a person. And I'm not even sure this had anything to do with the fact that I had bumped her car. You know, they say that when someone has an emotional reaction, that only about 10% of it is based on what's going on right now. And the other 90% of it is based on things that have happened in the past. And so I thought to myself, well, she's having a bad day, and I could have had the thought, were I not taking it personally, that on a happier day, she probably would have just let this slide off and she would have thought nothing of it. And then I could proceed to bless her, to release the incident, knowing that I had done whatever I could do, and to learn from it. Well, I did learn from it. I learned to be more careful when I opened my car door. But I admit that I was tempted for a few minutes. Okay, I actually did, for a few minutes, think, "What an unpleasant woman." Those may not have been my exact words. "What an unpleasant woman. Why can't she just forgive? I made a mistake, but it didn't do any damage." I wish I could tell you that my mind stopped there, but it did not. It ventured on to, "Why are people so mean sometimes?" Now it's going global, right? But even then, I didn't stop. I carried on to share everything with you guys. I carried on. "I'm such a sweetie pie. I wouldn't hurt a fly. Doesn't she know I'm a minister? Oh my God." But then it was so ludicrous. It was so ridiculous. It was absurd that I actually laughed out loud. And thank goodness I did, because it broke the spell. It allowed me to hold on to my peace. And you can easily see that if I had continued down that track, it's entirely possible it could have ruined my entire day. And I would be feeling unjustly treated. I would get defensive. I would turn it into a very big deal. Well, Don Miguel Ruiz says that when we take something personally, we basically are agreeing with what was said. And the reason is, if we didn't agree with it, we wouldn't internalize it, right? We wouldn't, and I admit that on a level I was feeling like I had done something wrong, and so I did, I accepted it in. But when we accept that in, it becomes a part of how we see ourselves, and now we have taken what he calls the emotional poison. And it really does spread throughout our being. And if we continue to let that fester, before long, especially if it's somebody we see on a regular basis, we've got them classified as the enemy, right? And we think they're out to get us. They're not out to get us. Unity minister Gary Simmons, in his wonderful book, The Eye of the Storm, he says, "Nothing and no one is against you. That is really big to realize. Nothing and no one is against you. Everyone's living in their own movie, their own reality. They're preoccupied with trying to live their life, doing the best that they can. It's not about you. And similarly, they are not the enemy. You know, we teach in Unity, our second principle is our first principle, there's only one power and presence, God the good, omnipotent. If you adhere to that, you see that God is everywhere, everywhere present in everyone and everything. There are no enemies. They're simply expressions of God on their own individual path of awakening. This, I believe, is why Jesus said, "Love thine enemy." He was saying, look beyond these outer appearances and instead see the divine spark. See the innate good in every person. You know, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. We say this almost every week. And that is profound because everyone is a spiritual being having a human experience. And that human experience can get a little ugly sometimes. Say things we wish we didn't say, and other people make mistakes, and that's just kind of how it goes. But that spirit, that perfection, that wholeness is still there. And as we affirm that in other people, it continues to grow. And the more that we are anchored in knowing ourselves as this I am presence, the more we can let go of petty grievances and made-up ego wars and just enjoy the kingdom of heaven within us. Jesus said, "You're the light of the world." How incredible! And it wasn't just you, it was all of us. We're the light of the world. And as you see that light, as you pay attention to that light, it becomes more and more the way that you see everything, and certainly the way that you see yourself. And so you find that you don't need to get drawn down into the drama, that you can actually step into your greatness no matter what the situation is. So I learned something very interesting about koi fish this week. Now, Richard tells me that everybody already knows this, but I didn't know this, so I'm going to tell you. I think it's really interesting. If you put a koi in a small bowl, like a goldfish bowl, it'll grow to about 2 or 3 inches. Do you all already know this already? Okay, well, anyway. Okay, good. Okay, it'll grow about 2 or 3 inches. If you put it in a tank or a small pond, it will grow to 6 to 10 inches. Isn't this fascinating? If you put it in a larger pond, it will grow to 1.5 feet. And if you put it in a very big lake, it will grow to 3 feet. How incredible is that? And they say it's because the environment affects how far the koi can see. In a small environment, it can't see very well. But if you put it in a large lake, it has a big vision, and it grows. This is exactly what is true for us as well. If we live in this higher consciousness, we grow. If we contract down into our petty ego wars, taking things personally, blaming other people, we shrink. It's important for us to keep an eye on the big picture. The more we do that, the more we expand into our infinite potential. You know, it is so powerful. I think it's really the crux of our spiritual work to come to know ourselves innately as whole and blessed and loved. Gary Simmons writes in his book, he says that you can only feel diminished by a life experience when you are not connected to your sense of wholeness and worth. That makes perfect sense, doesn't it? These criticisms or whatever would not get to you if you were solid within yourself. And so then he says that if you are in a situation where someone has insulted you or criticized you, or you're feeling hurt in some way, you can ask yourself this question. If I were connected to my wholeness right now, what inner resources could I draw upon to be present to this situation without being diminished by it? So taking my example, if I had been whole and feeling my wholeness and centered in myself when that occurred with that angry woman, what inner resources could I have drawn upon to be present with it, but to not let it ruin my day? Well, the resources that I needed were patience to hear her out. I needed compassion for her anger and compassion for myself, having made a mistake. And I needed wisdom to let it go, to know that this too shall pass. As we become more connected to our wholeness, we find it far easier in a situation where we feel maligned, or actually even if we are praised. You know, this idea holds for whether someone is praising us or criticizing us. That it's not about me. It's not about human me. It's your perception and your movie. But we can let it go because we don't need it to feel good about ourselves. So we can practice this skill of not taking it personally. We can practice it every day. And so, my friends, we are going to practice it right now. So here's how this will work. I will give you a scenario, and you will respond by saying, "It's not about me." Let's say that together. It's not about me. Perfect. If someone cuts me off in traffic, if someone passes me in the hall and refuses to acknowledge me, if someone doesn't return my email or my phone call as quickly as I think they should, that's exactly right. If my spouse or partner barks at me or gets nasty, let's say that one more time, that's a big one. Again? It's not about me. It's not about me. If my children don't come home for the holiday weekend like I think they should, if my children won't leave after the holiday weekend like I think they should, it's not about me. I mean, really, it's kind of like, you know, get over yourself here. It's not about you. It's about what's going on in their lives. And certainly you can have compassion for what's going on in their lives. You can grow in understanding. You can learn from the experience. But to have the mistaken idea that they are living in your movie doesn't serve anyone. It creates a lot of miscommunication and tension. So as we do our work about not taking things personally, we can learn from a very valuable and unexpected source. An old mule who fell in a well. So this old mule was owned by a farmer. And one day he fell in the farmer's well. And when he hit the bottom, he began braying loudly. Well, the farmer heard his cries and came running over to the well to see what had happened, and he looked down in it, and he felt very sad for his old mule, and he had no idea how to get him out. And he thought, and finally, reluctantly, he decided that the old mule and the well just weren't worth saving. So he called up his neighbors, and he had them all come over to help him haul dirt, and they decided they were just going to bury the old mule in the well. Put him out of his misery. And so they began doing the shoveling, the dirt falling down into the well. And the old mule was a little alarmed, a little panicked about this situation. But then he had an amazing insight. He realized as the shovelfuls of dirt were hitting his back that he could shake it off and step up. And he said to himself, shake it off and step up, shake it off and step up, shake it off and step up. No matter how painful the blows were of the dirt landing on him, no matter how desperate he felt, he kept telling himself, shake it off, step up. And by golly, he rose up inside of that well as he did this. And finally, he triumphantly stepped over the wall of the well. You know, something that could have buried him turned out to bless him. And it was all because of how he chose to relate to it. It was how he saw it for his good. And by doing that, he stepped out of that well and he set himself free. Well, you know, friends, the same is true for us. That we can make the choice not to necessarily be hurt by what is going on, to shake it off, to step into a higher level of consciousness, a higher level of awareness. We can realize that ultimately this is for our good, even though we can't see that right now. We can take back our day. We cannot let these things ruin our inner peace. And as we do this, as we shake it off and step up, we find our personal freedom. Just like that old mule, we set ourselves free. Let's turn now to our meditation.